Welcome to Torah Talk, a program that challenges 2,000 years of misunderstanding and neglect of the Torah, God's law. In this show, we will be threshing ideologies by examining these scriptures in their Hebraic contexts. Our goal is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the truth from misconception. This program is sponsored by The Harvest, a Messianic charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado.
Shalom, lovers of the Torah, and thank you for choosing to listen to Torah Talk. We have a great podcast for you today. We're going to pick up last week's discussion on worship and what it is. And when Jesus said that the Father is seeking true worshipers, those who worship him in spirit and in truth, what does that mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? This is important because after all, if we don't worship both from the point of spirit and the point of truth, he will not seek us out and we will not be his true worshipers. Uh-huh. We'll be worshipers, okay, but not his true worshipers. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to really search these things out and come into that place where we become the true worshipers of the living God, not to boast, but because he deserves to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome in the studio today my co-host, Pastor Russ, and Torah teacher, BJ. Thank you for being with me, and this is a great show. I'm glad you guys are on. This show would be bunk without you guys. So I appreciate your time and energy and all that you bring to the table for the glory of God. What do you think of this topic that we've been addressing and midrashing on?
Well, we totally agree that it would be bunk.
That's so good. That's so good. That will be edited. No, we'll leave it on.
You open a door, I'm going to walk
That's right. That's right. That's good. That's
so
good.
You know, I love anything where it is that, because again, I feel so insignificant and not necessarily in a demeaning way towards myself, but just the gravity of who it is that my God is. I feel so insignificant and not trying to be demeaning. I'm not trying to say I'm not good enough. I'm just saying it's how extravagant he is and how much, you know, how just significant he is that it makes me feel insignificant in comparison. But when we were looking last week and he says, this is what it is that the Father seeks, it just really blesses my heart to go, even in my insignificance, you're still looking for this. And it's like the Lord gives us these little insights to say, this really blesses me. And to be able to please the Father just really, just, you know, any way that it is that I can, you know, I have this, you know, how can I please you, Lord? And when he says, you know, this is something that it is that I seek, that I look for, I think, thank you for showing us that this is what it is that blesses you. Thank you for showing us a way that it is that we can honor you and warm your heart as a father is blessed by his children. So it really blesses me to be able to know how it is that we can bless him.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Amen. I just ditto that, BJ. That is so, so good. You just stand outside one night on a starry night and you look up and you think, how could this God that created all this and, I mean, things we can't even see or imagine, how could he even notice our existence, period, let alone he's looking for us and that he searches us out and finds us?
Yes. You know, we've had a number of classes on the cosmos. And man, when you begin to think of the fine tuning of the universe, the physics of the universe, that there's, I think it is 50 billion trillion stars. I mean, it's just like, you're just overwhelmed. You're speechless. We talked about this in our previous show that you get to this place when you begin to really grab hold of who God is and you're left on your face. There's nothing else to do but to lay on your face before the majesty and the power and the glory of the one who loves us. That he's that great and that glorious and that he loves us. What else can you do? Mm-hmm. What else can you do? Words even fail to really communicate the fullness of what is deep within our spirit. Just incredible, incredible. He is everything. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. And I think when you know that, it's easy to worship him. You know? I mean, part of the pathway of getting to the place where you can really worship from the totality of who you are is to gain an understanding of who he is. Yes. And that's part of that journey of truth that helps us to connect in our spirit to the one who has created us in his image. So, okay, great. for our listeners, keep in mind that this is a midrash and not to be construed as a doctrinal statement or a theological treatise on the subject. We are simply wrestling with the passages to better inform you as well as ourselves. And we reserve the right, the glorious right, to change our minds on our ideas as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Messiah. That's right. We are growing in the grace and knowledge of Messiah. I mean, a couple of years from now, we'll probably take a number of these shows and just ax them, and we'll think, why did we even present those ideas? That we, you know, that we have a much better understanding nowadays. And yes. So, hallelujah. Okay, great. So let's jump into, we talked about the issues of worship, what it means, define some of that. And then we also talked about what it meant to worship God in spirit in our last show. Let's jump into this area of truth, because it's very clear in the passage that we can't just worship God from our spirit. It can't just be spiritual in the sense of deep from deep within our spirit. There's something else that governs this aspect of true worship, and that is truth. And so I'll read this passage. Again, Yeshua speaking to the woman at the well, and they're talking about worship issues. And he says, an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So the big question, obviously, right out of the gate is, can you worship God in spirit and ignore truth, neglect truth, and be a true worshiper? You can't just shake. You can't just shake your. Pastor Rush, you just can't shake your head. No, okay. We're on radio, okay. BJ,
you cannot.
You cannot. Thank you. Thank you.
You don't shake your head.
That is great. Let's move Pastor Russ over to the audiovisual YouTube version of this. It was beautiful, convincing, persuasive, but yeah. Yeah, God is spirit. Of course, we can't worship just in spirit. This is not an esoteric subjective issue. Truth is a part of this. There's an objective part of this worship experience that is very subjective. Mm-hmm. There's an objective part of that,
right?
Truth. And you can't just worship in truth and ignore this aspect of our spirit,
right?
And its involvement in order for us to be in the realm of true worship, mm-hmm. both spirit and in truth, both that which is inside of us and that which is outside of us.
Right.
And that's real important. Mm-hmm. It's real important. I used to be a person who was big on the truth. It's all about the truth, all about the written word, you know, and all about studying the written word. But I had not yet learned how to bring into the Lord's presence the totality of who I am, mm-hmm. and to worship him from deep within the core and essence of who I am. I didn't. And yet I thought I was a true worshiper, mm-hmm. because I was pursuing the truth. I was a truth seeker, you know, and I was studying the truth all the time. I'm expounding on the truth and I'm beating people up with the truth, mm-hmm. you know? And for me, it was a dead end street. After a while, I was totally out of balance. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big eye opener that, you know what? I have yet to become a true worshiper. Mm-hmm. And yet I desired that. I wanted that. Yes. I want to be sought by the Father. Don't you want to be sought by the Father?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this issue of truth is just magnanimous. Our core passage is Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. And this is the laws concerning worship. Actually, in the translation I have, in New American Standard Study Bible, it says the heading of this particular passage is the laws of idolatry.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, because when you think about it, idolatry is connected to worship. Mm-hmm. It's what we call false worship.
Right.
And so it's all interwoven. So God says to those whom he redeemed out of Egypt, both the sons of Jacob and those Gentiles who came along with them and sojourned with them, he says, be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because You will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations that are about to invade and dispossess, that you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. Wow. So God has some parameters in regards to worship. He has some prerequisites and some parameters, which implies that we can't just worship him any way we want.
Right.
We're not at liberty to come up with our own forms of worship with no regard to his laws. That's the way I read it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do you think about this restraining and restricting of our worship? Well, why can't we just worship freely from our spirit? Come on, why? You know, we live in Colorado. Pot's legal. We got the Rocky Mountains. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. No, but I'm thinking to myself, why can't? I mean, other cultures use drugs in their worship, right? There's other cultures who smoke peyote, and we won't mention them, but it's a cousin to weed. But that's part of their actual religion. The United States Supreme Court recognizes that certain religions have that as part of their worship, and therefore it's legal for them in their worship settings.
Yeah, well, the words are here in the passage that if we branch out and try to do something that God didn't instruct us to do, it could end up being something that the Lord would describe as detestable, something that he hates. How could that be pleasing to God when we're doing detestable and hateful things? You know, it's like when you get married, your spouse is one that defines, this is how you will love me. You know, we as a husband, I don't get to decide how I get to love my wife. She has to define that for me. Well, God, because of his love for us, he teaches us, here's how you will worship me.
Yes.
You want to worship me? Here's how you do that. If you don't want to do it, then don't. But it's a choice. And if you want to worship me, you do it in my way. Spirit, that way it's everything within you. And in truth, it's everything that you're doing externally. It needs to be done in the way that I described to you.
Yes, yes.
I think you're so right on, Pastor. And one of the reasons I think that is because I was going to say the exact same thing. But I had the same concept when we talked about love last week. I was thinking, again, I don't get to decide how I'm going to love God. Mm-hmm. He's going to tell me what it is that makes him feel loved. And when someone tries to love me in a way that doesn't make me feel loved, it's not coming across to me because that's not how I receive it.
Right.
And so, exactly, I need to, you know, friends that I have or, you know, that
person might be saying, BJ, what is wrong with you? I'm loving
exactly.
you. I am loving you. What is your big deal? And you're like, I mean, from their perspective, they are loving you. And it can be a little bit offensive that you've rejected their acts of love towards you.
But I think it's a really common concept at this point, the love languages, where mm-hmm. it is that frequently what we'll do is I'll try and love someone in the way that I feel loved.
Yes.
And
right,
so
right.
that's pretty common. I mean, we kind
And how
of
could
go,
that be wrong?
We kind of go, well, that's how it is that I feel loved. But if my love language is touch, and so I'm using that with my spouse or with my friend, but their love language is time spent, then they're not hearing the love.
Yes.
You know, so I'm
yes.
trying to speak to them in a language that I understand.
Yes.
So I'm speaking to them in French, but they don't understand French. And so it doesn't matter how much I'm loving them in French if they're speaking Spanish. And so I need to speak to them in what their language is of how it is that they receive that. And I can try it all that it is that I want. And someone can buy me gifts all day long, which is fine, but it's not how I feel loved.
Yeah.
That's not my love language. Mm-hmm. And so even if that's what they're trying to convey, it doesn't matter if I don't hear
right.
it. You know, that's not what I want, is for me to convey love to someone else, but they don't hear it. I want to do it in whatever way it is that they hear that love.
Yeah.
So it's in the same way with worship. You know, I can say, you know, it would be really cool. And you know what I would love is, I would love if, you know, if I were God, this is how I would want to be worshiped. Well, you're not. And so this is how he says, you know, if you love me, you'll do this. If you want to worship me, this is how it is that you'll do that.
Yes.
It's speaking to him in his love language.
Yes.
You know, what is your way of feeling worshiped, Lord? How does that make you feel?
Yes.
How can I worship you in a way that really comes across to you? Not in the way that I think it should, or not what would make me feel really special, but what's your language, Lord?
Yes.
What's your language of worship that makes you feel? Yeah.
And I think that's part of what it means to worship in spirit, is to ask those actual kinds of questions. When you're saying, Lord, what is it that you want in terms of worship? That is coming from your spirit.
Right.
That's not about you. That's coming from a pure heart to say, God, you are God, not me. What do you require? I want to do what you require. That's part of how we approach God spiritually.
Right.
And then God responds, of course, and says, yeah, here are some guidelines. Here's some parameters. Mm-hmm. Here's some truths that you'll need to abide by and abide in order to worship me. The nations, they all worship their gods, and they do all kinds of things in their worship of their gods. When you go in to settle the land, don't be ensnared by asking them and inquiring about how they worship their gods. Don't study. Don't become inquisitive. Mm-hmm. Curiosity killed the cat. You know, don't go and study how they worship their gods, and then think to yourself, you know, that's kind of cool. I think I'll offer that up to God. Mm-hmm. He says, don't inquire. It's a snare. There is a beauty and a power and a mystique in pagan forms of worship. Mm-hmm. It is alluring. It will become a trap. God's saying, don't mess with it. Worship me according to my words, my ideas, my parameters. Mm-hmm. Don't do it the way the nations do it. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. So he's saying, don't look at how they do it and then bring that, repackage it, baptize it three times,
right?
You know, and then offer it up to me. Mm-hmm. Don't worship me in those forms, in the way that they worship their gods. So we're forbidden to take pagan forms of worship and repackage, change the symbols, even creating new days according to the gods and how they're worshiped.
Right.
And then say, oh, this is for you, Abba.
Right.
This is for you, Father.
Right.
God's saying, I don't accept that. It's not in truth. Your heart may be right, but it's not truth. And God's saying, I require of you to worship me in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. So does God give us some parameters for worship? And if so, what are some of those parameters? Think about some of those parameters that he gives us. What is it that he says he requires of us as it relates to worship, for instance?
Well, if you just look at worship in spirit and truth, for me, truth, all thy word is truth.
Right.
Everything written in the word can be, in my mind and in my heart, can be construed as worship.
Right.
If I'm walking out the word according to what he said, that is the truth aspect. I am doing, my whole life is a representation of worship. You know, it's.
But let's boil it down, because I hear you.
Sure.
You're real general, though. But
sure.
Bring it down to actual. Are there areas in God's word that he actually gives us commands related to specifically?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he says on the seventh day.
On the seventh day what?
You shall have a holy
convocation. Oh, so he actually gives us worship days. We
right.
call those worship days.
Right.
So God actually has some worship days. So right. part of the truth here, part of the truth is that God actually has already set aside appointed times for corporate worship. He actually has a weekly worship day?
Yeah, it's called an appointed time, a.k.a. an appointment.
Right.
God is setting an appointment.
An appointment, yes. And that's Sunday?
Not last time I checked.
What a shocker. What a shocker. Yeah. When you think about it, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up and one day I'm reading and I'm thinking to myself, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm thinking, how did I miss that for like years and years and years and years? Mm-hmm. It's so simple. It's so simple. He has a worship day. He has a weekly worship day. Mm-hmm. And he has a lot to say about that day. And last time I checked, Jesus kept that day. That's the day Jesus kept. That's the day the apostles kept. Mm-hmm. I always read it. Somehow I had like spiritual dyslexia, you know, where somehow.
Dyslexia.
Yeah. It's kind of a.
Right there.
It's kind of a right verbal, there. Visual phenomenon. But I'd read that like, remember the Sabbath to change it to Sunday. Because that's actually what I did. That was my heritage. That's 2,000 years of church history. Part of this show is to address 2,000 years of misunderstanding as it relates to the Torah.
Yeah.
And so, I discovered God has some worship days and appointments and some requirements within those worship days that govern what true worship is. We're going to pick this up in our next podcast. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that because we're going to find out there's a whole lot of worship days that are actually not worship days at all, not to the Lord.
Right.
They might be to you.
Right.
They might even be rooted in paganism. That's forbidden. But we'll look into those. If you want to be a true worshiper, one who worships God in spirit and in truth, then you're going to have to come to him in spirit and ready to embrace the truth.
Right.
So we'll pick that up in a couple of weeks to come. We are out of time. Let me just close with a blessing for this week. A special thanks to our great King, Yeshua the Messiah, and to our producer and co-host, Pastor Russ, and to our teacher, BJ. Thank you for being on the show. Our listeners and supporters for making this podcast possible through your prayers and financial giving. I am your host, Torah Teacher Mark. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. Shalom.
Torah Talk has been brought to you by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation located in the North Hills Church of God facility at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado. Your host has been Pastor Mark McClellan. Join us for Sabbath services at 1 p.m. next Saturday afternoon. For more information, please call us at 303-761-9948 or visit our website at www.graftedin.com. God bless you and shalom.